Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic. What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, I have royalty in my midst. That's how I feel. Like, I'm so excited to get you on. Ever since the first night I met her, I was like, I have got to get you on my podcast. Raylan Nelson, how are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing so well.
I'm so happy you're here. So we met at Daddy was doing something with Josh Wolf, right?
Yeah,
and you were there that night too.
At Zany's.
Yep, at Zany's. Josh Wolf is on the podcast too. He is so fucking funny. How is one human that fucking hilarious?
I don't know. He's so funny. And, you know, dude, if we've gone, both of us have gone to several of his shows.
Yeah.
Even if you hear the same jokes, I'm still laughing.
Yeah, no. He sat here on our couch, well, at our old studio, and fucking, I mean, the dude could just talk about his day. And it's so funny the way that he explains it. Like, his mind is beautiful.
Yeah.
He has a beautiful mind. How long have you known Josh?
We met in March.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
They just moved.
I know. To
like
Vegas, my hood.
Are you guys going to leave too?
No. Are you kidding me? My husband is born and bred here. He talks about leaving all the time. Like the other day, he was like, babe, I just want to go retire somewhere on a beach. And I'm like, I love you, honey, but why don't we do a vacation home? Because I'm going to get your ass somewhere. And then fucking 3 months later, you're going to run back.
Well, honestly, it's great here. March through December, and then yes, January, February, it's
amen,
just too fucking cold.
Yeah, you know? No, it's terrible. Oh, of course. Yeah, 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 yeah. No,
it's too fucking cold.
Yeah,
so why not go to the vacation home for those 2 months? You feel like you live there.
Yes.
And then you miss home. Yeah. And come back.
I've never had depression, and since I moved here 2 years, oh well, I've been here 6 years, but 2 years ago I think I got what they call seasonal depression. Mm-hmm. And I have been trying to figure it out, man.
I have tips on that because I have seasonal depression too, but it's because my dad actually died on Christmas Eve.
Oh my gosh. So I'm so sorry.
As soon as it gets cold here, which is pretty late in the year for us, especially now with global warming.
Yeah.
I start to get that feeling of, I would just rather just lay around and not get anything done.
Yep.
Just feeling really sad.
Yeah.
You know? But okay, here's the tips that I can give you that have helped.
Yay.
Wear sunscreen.
Wow.
Because of
the smell.
And it makes you feel like you're going to be out in the sun all day. And it makes you feel like you're on a beach, right?
No, I believe it. Yeah.
Listen to beachy songs.
Okay.
The Beach Boys is a good one to go to. But any kind of islandy reggae is always a good one too.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
And then the third one is keep green plants around in the house.
I love that. And you know what? Can I just, I have to tell you, I have tried to grow some plants in the house.
What about succulents?
What is a succulent?
Those are the ones you don't
like
have to
do cactuses
anything.
And stuff like that?
Yeah. And some of them look kind of aloe vera-y.
I thought a sunflower was going to be easy to take care of. I've had three and they've all died. Yeah. Fucking, like, it's a joke. It's a running joke in my house that I want to have plants so bad, but I can't. I just do not have a green thumb. Like, everybody laughs. I try. Raylan, for people who don't know who you are.
Okay, my grandpa is the coolest grandpa in the world.
Dude.
And it's funny, you know, I just texted him. I text him all the time. I'm like, you're the fucking coolest. Aww. Look at this. And I don't know if you ever heard of Nikki Glaser.
Oh, yeah. I love her. Yeah, she's coming
Andrew
on.
Andrew Collin. Mm-hmm,
yep.
So I love her, too. And on their podcast wall, she, of course, has Taylor Swift, and Andrew had Willie Nelson up there.
Aww.
So, I sent him a picture of it, and I'm, like, zooming into his picture. Aww. Like, you're the fucking coolest.
So, Grandpa is Willie Nelson for everybody who does not know.
Yeah. But he's so humble. He was just like, I love you, Raylan. You know, like, he won't feed into the
hype.
Ego. At least not with me. He doesn't.
You know? My husband idolizes him. Like, Jelly calls himself Willie Nelson. Like, him and his best friend Struggle Jennings is Waylon Jennings' grandson.
Yeah.
So they have these albums that they do called Waylon and Willie.
What's his real name?
Struggles.
Is it his real name?
Well, his name that he sings by is Struggle Jennings, but his real name is William Harness.
I was just trying to figure out if I've met him, because I don't think I have.
Maybe Jesse Coulter is his grandmother, I believe. So, okay. Yeah, so that's how they're all tied in, too. And like Shooter and all them. Yeah. So that's Jelly's best friend that he's grown up with. So they have a series of albums. They have all the way through 4, 1 through 4, and they're Waylon and Willie. I'll have to send them to you so you can hear them. But they've redone Mama Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys, but they've done like an updated kind of like rap version of it.
I would love
but
to hear
Jay,
that. Oh my god.
Yeah, Jay loves your grandfather. Like,
I wonder if Papa Willie is heard. I'll send it to him.
I will for sure. He'll love that. Jay would absolutely die if fucking Willie Nelson even knew he was.
Because my grandpa's done stuff with Snoop Dogg, which I also think is the coolest.
Oh my god, if we could get a Jelly Roll Willie Nelson collab, that would fucking be insane. But yeah. So Grandpa's Willie, what is it like growing up with him as your grandfather? Is it kind of a shadow that you can't like get out from underneath, or do you appreciate it? And I only ask that because our daughter is going through a phase right now where, you know,
she wanting to do music. And stuff.
Well, at first it was like, my dad's Jelly Roll. I can't stand it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And now she's kind of embracing it more. So does everybody go through that?
She's 13.
Mm-hmm. So now does everybody go through that when they have like a celebrity in their family where it's like you kind of like shun it at first and then you accept it? Or have you just always accepted it and been like, that's my grandpa, and just owned it?
I think it's that because, and it might be different being the daughter versus the granddaughter.
Right.
The generation removed, he's just always been so, like, I've never seen him mad at me.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's never told me no.
Right.
You know, he's the coolest and the best, you know?
Oh, I love that.
So I think I've always accepted it. Yes, it's a big shadow, and people definitely expect something
right
about your music when you are Willie Nelson's granddaughter.
Right.
My music is not like his music.
Yeah, let's get into that. So you are a musician yourself.
Yes.
Okay, and what type, for people who don't know, like, what type of music do you sing?
So it's kind of like country garage rock.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
Yeah, Rolling Stone Country is the first who said that.
Yeah.
Which I loved, and I was like, yes, let's go with that. That's cool. Anytime I say that to someone, they're like, there's no such thing as that. I'm like, well, you know.
Well, you can make it your own. Yeah.
And you kind of have to be different in this town. Mm-hmm. Everybody's amazing.
Everybody's a fucking musician.
Everybody's a great songwriter.
Yep. That's how it is in LA, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be different in some way. And I think that the garage rock definitely, which I am the country. I'm not necessarily the garage rock, although I've learned to fucking love it.
Yeah.
You know, I dove into Joan Jett and The Clash and Runaways.
Yes.
And
love Joan Jett.
The Pretenders.
Love The Pretenders.
I mean, just all this really awesome, like, feminine
Pat Benatar
rock.
All them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And got to meet some of their band members too, just living in Nashville. And I got to meet Joan Jett here. Have you met her yet?
No, I haven't. I would probably die. And I'm not a fangirl for like anybody, but like the older generation of women, I just have so much respect for them.
I know.
You know, like, they literally ran so that we could walk,
they,
you know, just strong ass women, Stevie Nicks, fucking just all of them, dude.
Yeah.
Even down to like Carly Simon, like, everybody was just so,
I want to be just like all of them.
Me too. Me too. I love Stevie Nicks. Like, I will fucking cry. Can we turn the heat off, Mimi? It is fucking toasty in here. We're trying to find a balance in here, like, because this is our new studio. So yeah. It's either really fucking cold or really muggy. Yeah. We can't find that happy medium yet.
It's also Tennessee. Yeah. Either hot and cold and hot and cold.
Bipolar for sure. So have you always been into music, like, just because you were born into it? So did you wake up like, or were you born like playing the guitar and just came out singing, or was it something that you had to like acquire?
I did come out singing. My mom said I came out singing, and I have memories of my grandpa singing Jingle Bells and On the Road Again with me. It was one of the first songs that I knew. And I remember that I would come up with melodies in my head, but I didn't quite know that I was writing the song. Mm-hmm. You know, singing little things, not even around the house. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else does that. You're just singing whatever you're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I'm going to the bathroom. I don't know.
I grew up with a studio in my house because my dad's a musician, so I totally understand it. I would literally write songs and put on concerts for the neighbors.
Yes.
Like when I was growing up.
Do you still write songs?
No, I don't. That's never been really my passion, singing and stuff like that. I do it now because I can, and like it's just something to do for content for me, but I'm more of like an entertainer. You know, like, let me show you my tits or something. You know, well, like, I'd rather entertain people or make them laugh or like heal people. That's what I love doing, you know. And whereas Jay, he's the artist in our relationship. He's the musician. He's the one that, you know, he heals people through his music. I like to heal people through just, you know, my podcasts and
feeling
stuff like
sexy.
That. Yeah, exactly. Through sex.
Sexy
yes.
Too. I think that's something that they help pave the way too.
Yeah.
You know, I never,
absolutely.
I think about them and I never feel bad about showing off my midriff or, what little tits I have or whatever, my legs.
No,
my mom told me, and my mom's super holy roller.
Yeah.
But she told me, she's like, you should always show a little leg.
You love that.
You're on stage, you have to.
You know? No, for sure.
And it's just like that feminine force in all of us that.
Yep.
You have to feel sexy.
Absolutely.
And you have to show confidence.
Feminine,
you know?
Energy, just that feminine divine energy, or however it's explained. So your music, when did you start like really writing and like focusing on it and like saying like, okay, this is what I want to do?
So I always took voice lessons or was in show choir and that sort of thing. And when I was real little, my mom kept me pretty sheltered, like I said, holy roller. So it was just old country or gospel Christian music, like
me
Amy
too.
Grant.
Oh my God, I love Amy Grant.
Have you ever heard of the Christian singer Jennifer Knapp?
I have not, but I was like into Crystal Lewis, DC Talk, all that. I was raised in a extremely religious Pentecostal house.
Okay, yeah,
so,
me too.
Okay, fun. Good. Yeah, so I get it. Look at us now. Just rebels.
This is why nobody should grow up.
This is why I always talk about religious trauma. I'm huge about talking about religious trauma, but that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah, and that's healing for all of us who went through that. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
But anyway, she is the first LGBTQ Christian singer. She wasn't originally, like, she didn't come out until way later into her career.
She probably couldn't, because back in how old are you?
90s and stuff. I'm 37.
You're okay, so we're around.
I identify as a 27-year-old.
Hello, baby. I am on the internet eternally, 26, but I'll be 42 in January. So I get it.
No way.
Yeah, swear.
Well, your spirit and you do not look in your 40s. So
I love you so much. It was all the drugs and alcohol that I did whenever I was younger.
That's what I do too.
Back in our day, you couldn't just come out and be like, hey, I'm a Christian singer and I'm a lesbian.
No.
They would never have allowed that.
No.
Whereas now it's more accepted.
Apparently so.
She's
still doing Christian music.
Right.
And she does the 30A Songwriter Festival, and we do it every year too. We're going to do it. It's in the end of January in 30A, Florida.
Oh,
so
fine.
I'm hoping to see her again because I grew up loving her.
Yeah. That's really cool that you actually get to chill with like one of your, was she like an idol growing up?
Yeah, she was an idol, and
she inspired
a Christian
you.
Guitar player, singer, songwriter, and I had her songwriter book, and, you know, mom got it for me, and my grandpa actually sent me my first guitar at 14 years old. I decided I wanted to learn to play guitar.
Yeah.
So that's when I actually started learning, and didn't really start piecing together songs until after I had children and I was stuck at home nursing babies and stuff.
I did not know you had kids. Mm-hmm. How did I miss that?
My boys are almost 15.
Holy moly. Dude, you're so hot. Like, they're twins?
Yes.
You're like so tiny too.
Thank you so much.
That's crazy.
I definitely worked hard to get back to the body after the twins.
You're beautiful. You don't look.
I got really big.
You don't look like you have teenage boys.
It was 14 years ago, though.
You just look so young to me. Doesn't she look young? It's crazy. You like, even when you told me you were 37, I was thinking that you were going to say 27. Like,
well, that's what I identify.
You know, I get it. Trust me.
Totally,
I understand.
27. And then I have a daughter, too, that's 12. Oh. She's 12. Yeah.
I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Because I've got the 13-year-old.
It's just now getting into where I'm like, are we still best friends?
Oh, no. You guys will be best friends 1 week, and then the next week you guys will be at each other's throat, and then the next week you guys will be best friends. The only thing I can advise, and I'm a stepmom, I'm not even a biological mom, is communication. If you feel like they're off a little bit, just be like, hey, man, why don't you write me a letter and tell me how you feel? Because with Bailey, she's not good at communicating face-to-face, but she'll text, and I hate that. I think texting is so emotionally separated, so I'm like, write me a letter. And then when she writes me the letter, I have her read it in front of me, so that way she can get it all out, and then we can talk about it. I've learned that that's extremely important with little girls.
That is such a therapist thing to do.
Genius. Maybe I've read a lot of therapy books, but I've just found that it works for us, you know. Yeah. So, you know, whenever you guys do, if you ever get to that point and you need to talk.
That's a great idea.
That's just a little tidbit from.
And then you can check out how their grammar situation is.
Yeah. Well, I don't read it myself. I just have her read it to me so we can get through it. So you started playing the guitar when you had your babies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I started writing songs then. Okay. And then I was trying to find a place to record these songs, and through the weed guy, actually met my guitar player and music partner, JB.
Awesome.
And he's like, I have a studio and I'll only charge you $50, you know? So I go over there, and by the end of it, I almost had to force him to take the money out of the end of it. He was like, no, let's get together and just write some more songs, finish the ones you have, arrange it, we'll put together a combo. And just from then on, we started doing that. And it took a few years to even figure out what we were doing. We thought it was going to be like Stone Cold Country. The first thing we did had a washtub bass. You know, nice. He was literally playing the washtub bass. And it was just super, super folk and old-timey country. But then...
like bluegrass, kind of.
But his thing is rock. Like, everything he's done was rock. And his bandmates were rock. So when my grandpa started sending him stuff we were doing, he was like, you need to get a band together. About like the fourth or fifth time, he's like, do you have a band? I was like, JB, we need to put a band together. My grandpa's like, you need a band.
Grandpa is not playing.
So he grabbed his rock and roll buddies. We start the band and then put out an EP. So that the first EP was 2014. And then we put out an album in November of 20, and we put a couple things out, like another album out. But then our last album that we put out was in November of 2019, right before the pandemic hit.
Awesome.
So it just felt like it flopped because we couldn't really tour and do.
Yeah.
Promote it at all.
No, I feel like musicians took the biggest hit in 2020 because our livelihood, and speaking for my husband and our family too, is getting out on the road, shaking hands and kissing babies, you know, like that's what you guys got to do. Mm-hmm. What did you do whenever 2020 hit? Were you able to just like lock yourself away and just write music, or like, did you use it as a creative outlet?
I write songs based on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to write anything about COVID and what was going on.
No, for sure. I think Luke Combs is the only person who succeeded in that when he did 6 feet apart.
I just remember where I was working on songs that I had started beforehand.
Yeah.
And really only just in this year finished them.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know why.
It's a process.
It is. And I don't force songwriting someone pays me money.
Right.
But as far as my stuff goes, I let it come to me.
Yeah. And no, that's how my husband is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't force him. Yeah. To get in the studio. He has literally features just stacked up because it's like he'll get to him when he has that feeling to do it. Like he can't just go in and do something if his heart's not in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to know it's time, and also maybe have to live a little bit of something mm-hmm. to really know how it'll sit play it. Out mm-hmm. to yeah. figure out what the message of the song is.
Yeah, even for sure.
You started it. And then other times I like my song Brother, I wrote about a TV show I was watching where her brothers were mad at this guy for cheating on her, you mm-hmm. know? So the brother started going after the guy that had cheated on her.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that would be a cute song. I don't think there's a song about the brother going after the guy. So, and then, well, you know, sometimes it's like that. Where
what an awesome place to get inspiration from, though.
Yeah. TV show that I was just binge watching and yeah. laying in bed doing nothing but getting high and watching, you know? Yeah. But, and also those are fun. Okay. So, you know, titles of or the episodes, sometimes they'll try to make them cheeky,
right,
of different TV shows. Mm-hmm. Those are fun song lyrics sometimes. I'll just like, if there's a good one, I'll write it down. I'll be like, that might go in a song sometime.
Yeah. You know? No, I love that.
There's like little tools you can pull from our other art, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And write it, or even like a conversation in a movie.
Yep.
Something is said and you're like, that there's a song there.
I did that with Jay the other night. We were watching Shameless and I forget what it was. Oh. He could probably fucking remember, but they said something and I was like, dude, the Alibi. They go to the bar that's called the Alibi.
Yeah.
And I was like, baby, that's a song title. And he was like, hell yeah. I was like, you know, the Alibi. And yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll remember that. But yeah, no,
like
it's,
they go to a bar called the Alibi.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So did you ever?
I won't write it.
Did you? You can have it. It's fine. Did you ever form the band? And did you? And if you did, what is you guys' name so people can look you guys up?
Oh yeah, Jonathan Bright is my music partner. Everybody calls him JB. And mm-hmm. Preach Rutherford is the bass player. So those three have been with me since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Simmons was the first drummer, and we've literally had 13 drummers. Like, we're the Spinal Tap
hard to find people who actually want to work or fucking perform or yeah. like it's we go through videographers good like ones. That it's yeah hard. Like just finding people to mesh with your energy and your whole yeah vibe is just very hard.
Yeah.
So you don't want to force a fit that isn't, you know, jiving with all of you guys, because then that just one bad apple can ruin a whole fucking situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't want
to
deal with
that.
You
have to be in a close quarters with them in a van or a bus.
Absolutely.
What the situation is.
And what's the name of your band?
Raylan Nelson Band.
Raylan Nelson Band, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you guys going on tour this year? Yes.
Okay, so Spin did this article on the band, which was out of the blue and totally awesome. And since then,
that's
just
awesome.
Really good for business.
Yeah, no, Spin magazine's fucking like iconic.
I know, and so that's been really good. I got an avalanche of CD. I've literally was selling like maybe a CD once every 6-7 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe.
Yeah, you need to get on TikTok.
I'm on TikTok.
You are. I'll have to follow you,
it's just
and we'll
so hard
look at
to,
your
like,
formula.
Figure out what the fuck to do on there.
I think if people
I just need to follow you and watch what you're doing, and I'll just
don't follow me. You know, I'm a bad fucking I am a bad example to follow.
Who do you get inspiration on there? Like, what are you doing the dancing thing?
No, fuck no.
Okay.
I am too old to be dancing on
right?
there. I just tell my story of just my life, and I don't know. I'm just what would you say, Mimi? What do I do on there? Yeah, and I kind of like make everything my own, you know. Well, yeah. I'll go through it when we get off of here, and I'll show you kind of like some things that we do. And if you need help, of course, me and Mimi are always here to help you.
Okay.
But I think people just hearing you talk and tell your story, plus us posting you too, will also get vibes flowing your way. But I think people just hearing you talk, you know, maybe do you sing on there and like have your guitar
I will,
and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, if you don't do that, I mean, do that.
Okay.
Some of your music on there, get some of your music on there. You know, of course, let people know who your grandfather is, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just your whole thing, your whole vibe, just
do
your
Papa Willie songs on there.
All
a little
of
bit
it.
First,
yeah. Talk about the garage, you know, what do they say?
Yeah. Country garage.
Country garage. Yeah. Like people will love that. TikTok is like, it's the place now to go to blow up. Instagram is dying. So literally TikTok is the place to market yourself.
I'm just now like doing so well on Instagram.
I know, right? But dude, I've had my fucking profile for so long on Instagram and my engagement is terrible on there because I'm always in trouble. Like I'm like a walking community guideline, but we'll get you on TikTok.
And TikTok lets you do whatever you want.
I mean,
for the most part,
as long as it's not sexual. So, you know, she's like, well, damn it. But, you know, like you can do stuff. You just have to like use code words and like stuff like that. Yeah, so there's like a whole thing around it. But yeah, I mean, they'll let you be who you want to be on there. Just you just have to kind of for like. Now. Yeah, you just have to kind of like, you know, word things differently, which I had to learn fucking two profiles in. I got banned so many times before I was like, okay, I finally fucking get it. So
when did you guys become such big fans of comedy? Because like we my share husband's that love too.
Always been a fan of comedy. So he literally, Jay, I call him my muse of tragedy because Jay is actually a very, very sad soul. He's very, you know, when the curtain's down, it's a different person, solid. But always so loving and so sweet. But my husband battles severe depression. He's got demons that he fights. And so his way of escaping that is comedy. So ever since I've got with my husband, we could be on tour in the fucking bus. He does not play music. He plays comedies.
That's what we do. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's his thing. And he loves podcasts. He loves comedy. And so as he started blowing up in the industry, a lot of comedians were becoming his fans, mm-hmm. which was crazy because, you know, he would like when we first got together, he'd be like, one day I'm going to be on Joe Rogan. And now that's being very possible. And, you know, like Bert Kreischer, he loves Bert Kreischer. And Bert will like tweet him and Tom Segura will tweet him.
Oh
and
my
then
God, that's
him
so
and
cool.
Josh, you know, crossed paths. So it just. It was my husband. And then, of course, you know, I always loved comedy, but I never really like was
you're
kind
of naturally a comedian.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I love you. Thank you. So going on tour, are you guys going to be touring? You did the Spin magazine.
Oh, yeah. The Spin article. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tell you, so just relating to the comedy thing, we started a podcast called Music is Funny Podcast.
Yes. Which, I wanted to get into that.
Where we were talking to comedians.
Yes.
Which is where I met Josh Wolf.
Love that.
And then you. So it stemmed from that. Because when we're on the road, we don't listen to music. We just listen to stand-up comedy.
Yeah. And I podcasts. Saw you just had Dane Cook on there.
Yes.
Crazy.
How crazy is that?
That's wild.
It's honestly, thank God JB is, I have a co-host because I was just kind of starstruck. And maybe said 20 words to you the whole time.
Yeah. You know?
And a couple of them were, you're the coolest. You're the best. You know?
I mean, it's Dane Cook, so I don't blame you.
There's no way he thinks I'm funny or cool at all. Cause
I'm sure he did his research before he came on.
Oh, I hope
so.
So
he knew what he was getting into.
but it was a good episode. The best part about comedians is they love to talk.
Oh, yeah. No.
And yes. About themselves, if you just ask them something, I mean, they'll just go.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, so everybody loves to talk about themselves, you know. If you give them a microphone and ask them about themselves, that who do you know best? Yourself, you know. So.
But anyway, we've had a lot of cool people. I just talked to Doug Stanhope again yesterday. He did our Christmas.
Oh,
he knows
love
I hate
that.
Christmas because of my dad. And
tell what's the name of your podcast again, just so everybody can hear
Music
it.
Music is Funny.
Music is Funny.
But
where did you get the concept for your podcast?
We're just trying to figure out how to get them to talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
We'll just, how do we relate music and comedy together? Which they're very similar. You
know?
Yeah,
totally.
What you have to do to get out there. Mm-hmm. And
the comedy world is like a cult. Like, but in a good way, mm-hmm. because literally you have this fan base that is so fanatic, you know, that when they fall in love with you, they are all about you.
It's like sports.
Getting into like, even like, I don't know, we were watching something. My husband watches these comedy documentaries and it was about Mitzi Polly Shore's mom who runs the comedy store, or used to run before she passed away, rest in peace, the comedy store in LA. And even trying to get a spot in the comedy store was like, you had to know somebody to know somebody. Mm-hmm. And once you're in. But like, if you're an outcast, you're an outcast. And they all stick together. Yeah. Comedians will have each other's back like a motherfucker.
Yeah. And to get past there, to be a paid regular takes a really long time.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it doesn't. It's just, she was very, picky is what I
Mitzi.
Mitzi Shore.
I actually had the weirdest interaction with Polly Shore the other day.
No way. Tell me about this.
I love Polly. Oh, well, on the phone. I love Polly, the weasel, you know, love him. I've always been a fan of Polly since I was a fucking kid, you know, yeah. Son-in-law, stuff like that. And I've actually met Polly when I was a stripper. He used to come into Olympic Gardens in Vegas all the time.
Okay.
Always very sweet, very, you know, whatever. But so, you know, my podcast is popping now and like I have all walks of life on the podcast, and you know, from Instagram girls to comedians to fucking musicians, whatever. I just want people to come on and tell their story and be able to, you know, just tell the world who they are. And so I reached out to Polly. I was like, hey, Polly, I haven't talked to you in forever. I met you a long time ago at Olympic Gardens, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I have a podcast, not realizing he had a podcast too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he thought that I was like reaching out to like, I don't know what he thought, to be honest. Anyways, so I can, would love to have you on the podcast, blah, blah, blah. He's like, call me, right? And sends me his number. So I'm like, this is weird. I text Mimi. I'm like, I'm about to talk to Polly Shore. So I thought he was just going to set a date with me of when he could come on or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, Polly, it's Bunny. And he's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, so I met you at Olympic Gardens. And I was like, yeah, totally. And he's like, oh, hey, that's cool. And he's like, so tell me about your podcast. So I told him about it. Right. And he's like, yeah, that's really awesome. He's like, I'm not really taking gigs right now, but you know, he's like, I have a podcast too. So, you know, just save my number. And if you ever want to have a drink. I was like, well, I'm big married, Polly, but I'll definitely, if
he
we're ever
that. What a
I was
douche.
Like, if we're ever in LA, my husband and I would love to meet up. So no, he was very respectful though, yeah. And like wasn't, you know, weird or anything like that. But it was just so funny. And it's just crazy, you know, people that you like, I don't want to say idolize because I didn't idolize Polly Shore, but that you just love, you know, because you grew up with, you actually get to talk to them and then you realize that they're just really normal people,
yeah.
You know, which is awesome, I mm-hmm. think. So I thought it was so funny.
And I really did just want to talk to all my favorite comedians.
Yeah. So how many episodes are you guys in? Is it brand new? How long have you been doing it?
We just did number 42.
Yay.
And I want to get through 1 year and maybe
start tapering off. Wow. You guys have done 42 in less than a year?
Yeah, we do it weekly.
Wow.
So it's been, I think one time we did greatest hits because we had an audio issue. And then, yeah.
No, recording a podcast every week, especially if you don't do them like how we do them, like we stack them, it's a job.
Yeah. So we are.
My hat goes off to you.
Either going to have to stack a whole bunch.
I would.
Or we're going to maybe just slow down on like maybe every other week because we need time to do music.
Well, what I started
things are happening again.
Absolutely. Well, what I started doing, if I could give any advice, is do it in seasons. That's what I do.
I've noticed you did that. Mm-hmm. That's
and because I did what you did when we the first season. I don't know how. I think we dropped like probably at least 52 episodes that year, right? Or close. And I was tired. And then we just immediately kept going the next year. So I think it was 2 years in a row, we just nonstop dropped content. And this last third season, I was burnt out. I was like, it got to a point where I was just like, bro, do I even want to do this podcast anymore? Right. I was like, I'm so burnt out. And so I got the idea where I was just like, you know what? Let's end it here and let's start seasons. And like, let's, you know, it'll give me a month break to where I can just kind of recoup, take 2 weeks off, and then boom, just go right back in and then start stacking the episodes. Because having to do one weekly is really exhausting, and having to plan your whole life around it. I don't know if that's how you like to operate.
No.
But just do what we do. We literally plan out 2 weeks of the month where I do nothing but nonstop podcasts. Yeah. And then that gives you the whole season. You can film other content and you can work on your music.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do, or just slow down. But I like the idea of stockpiling. There's a lot of people in January that are coming through, some A-listers that have already agreed. I'm so excited. So I don't want to
Give us a sneaky peeky?
Like, do you know Jessie Mae Peluso?
Oh, I love Jessie Mae. Yeah,
so she's
totally
coming through.
Yay.
Heather McMahon. I'll never say it right. Heather McMahon.
Does she have her own? No, wait.
She was just on that Christmas movie. where the guy catfishes the girl. That was from Vampire Diaries.
I'll have to I'll have to Google her. But no, I love Jessamay. She's actually coming on Dumb Blonde too. But because I do them in person, I'm waiting until she comes. So then she's coming on in January. She's last time I talked to her.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
awesome.
Yeah,
so do you do over the do you also
I
do
I would rather do them in person, but me I too. Have done Zoom.
Yeah, I did Zooms a couple in COVID and I just hated it because I want to feel you.
Energy.
Yeah, like I want to touch you. I want to see you. I want to interact. So,
and plus, you're able to joke around a little more. If you can feel your energy.
Yeah, and I think being in the sex industry my whole life, I felt like I was doing like a webcam interview. You know, like it just didn't feel. I was like, no, I don't like this. This is my steez. That's awesome, dude. Like, I'm really proud of you guys. Are you guys on Apple, Spotify, like
all the
on
things.
All the platforms? And then you guys also film them.
Yep. So okay. They're all on YouTube. We all do it YouTube. At my grandpa's museum, the Willie Nelson and Friends Museum and Showcase on Music Valley Drive. Yeah, they let us sneak in there and do it there. So
that's
there's
so cool.
Patrons walking around the, you know, looking at everything.
What a cool concept, though. I love that for you.
Yeah. I didn't even ask my grandpa. I just told him we were doing it.
Aww, he's just like, whatever.
He doesn't care. You know?
Yeah.
He's 88 and... Right now in Hawaii, you know?
Nice. Just living life.
Living it up, yeah. He does not tour when it's cold anymore. Aww. Waits till it's warm.
Is he still a real avid weed smoker?
Yeah, well, he mostly vapes now.
Oh, okay.
And then his wife, Annie, makes these delicious edibles herself.
Nice.
It's like chocolate and coconut. They're healthy. All the healthy chocolate, all the healthy coconut. It still tastes really good.
Aww.
And it's got the THC. She makes her own. It's called Annie's or Willie's Remedy. Annie's chocolates.
Do you eat them?
Yeah, they're delicious.
I can't. So last time I had an edible, I ended up calling, which was fucking 10 years ago now because it scared me so bad. I ended up calling 911. And having them come to my house. Yeah, it was some fucking butter that somebody made me and I ate it and I was watching a fucking scary movie and literally during the scary movie, I jumped up and I felt like I couldn't breathe. I started running around my backyard and I'm just like, I can't breathe. Oh my God, something's wrong with me. Fucking call 911. They come in the house, hottest fucking firefighters, by the way. And I just look like a hot mess, you know, just high as shit, fucking hair everywhere. And fucking, they come in and they're like, what are you on? And I was like, I ate some weed butter. They all started fucking laughing at me and packed up. And they were like, honey, you're fine. You're going to ride this one out. You'll be good. You don't need us. And I'm like, I'm dying. Take my fucking blood pressure. They're like, just go to bed. You're going to be fine. So, yeah, that's why I can't have edibles.
Yeah, they'll get you differently than just smoke. I would much rather smoke it. I'm much rather smoke a joint any day.
Yeah, for sure.
But there was one time when I had a duo with a friend and we went out to Hemp Fest in Maine, Harmony, Maine. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Maine. Yeah.
Okay. No stores around. And we did not plan any food situation.
Oh, no.
So the people at Hemp Fest had given us all of these weed edibles. It was mostly weed, okay? It was called Hemp Fest, but it was weed because weed's legal in Maine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yes, you can't sell it, but you can have it.
And smoke it.
And so all these weed people who make it or whatever were just giving us that. I mean, weed bugles, you know, remember those things you would put on your finger as a kid?
Yeah.
There were weed bugles, weed Cheetos. So it was all this munchy food, brownies, of course, cookies. Raisins. I mean, like chocolate covered raisins that were, but all of it right was
up,
weed.
You love weed. This is right up her alley.
I mean, it was delicious. And we ate it all that night because we didn't have any food.
No.
Right? We didn't have any food. So it was the food we were eating. And it didn't feel different that night. We were like, this isn't, I mean, we're taking videos for our Instagram and everything. And then the next day when we watched the videos, we are moving 5 miles an hour, right? Yo, we feel fine.
Oh, my God. You were fucking higher than a giraffe's ass.
Yeah, but in the moment.
Yeah, didn't feel it.
We're like, this feels fine. I feel great.
God, I would love to have an edible fucking story like that. Instead, I felt like I couldn't breathe and I was verklempt.
I would do it again, though, because there was literally no food, you know? Oh. So I would just put myself in that position again and you know, turn the tape on again.
And I love see that. I love it. I think some of my funniest videos is when I'm fucked up. I'm sober now, 6 years, but man, I used to fucking do some funny shit when I was.
You don't do anything?
No. Okay. Nothing. Well, I, dude, the older I got, I just realized I tried to be a drug addict when I was younger because I wanted to rebel against my family. So, you know, of course, that got me a Xanax addiction and a cocaine addiction that I fucking survived somehow. But drugs never made me feel good. Drugs always made me sick, and I couldn't figure out why. And come to find out, I have like the MTFHR gene mutation, okay. And I have a couple gene mutations. So anything I take, just fucking, my body has the opposite effect of it. Like everything, It's so sensitive. So I just got to a point where alcohol, even the next day, the hangover and just the depression was not worth it.
Yeah.
Going out and drinking. So I was just like, you know what? I just quit everything cold turkey, and I've been sober ever since. So. I would love to, you know, smoke weed and fucking drink, but it's like I never know how my body's going to react anymore. So,
yeah. Well,
here I am.
Dane Cook, he said that he's never drank or smoked or anything.
He's naturally like that?
He said he never had. And I pressed him a little bit. I was like, well, what is your vice then? Because we all have one.
We all have
what
one.
What is
yeah.
it? It's got to be either food or pussy. And what is it?
Yeah.
And he said that his vice is to create things.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
I believe it. My vice is working. I work nonstop. Like I wake up working. I go to sleep working. My husband, it drives him crazy because now he's used to it. But when we first got together, he would be like, when do you turn it off?
When do you stop?
Yeah. Like when do you turn it off? And I'm like, I can't. Like if I'm not constantly.
Do you like caffeine? Is that.
Sometimes I've actually gotten to a point where I can actually drink it now and it doesn't affect me. But before it was so bad, I would have like, we were in Vegas this last time we went to Vegas fucking a couple months ago. And Dutch Brothers is my favorite coffee.
Yeah.
I fucking downed one of them thinking it was like Starbucks. And I was cracked out. It hurt. Like I was so caffeined out. It hurt. I was like, this is terrible. I don't know if I want to go to sleep or if I want to fucking hang myself off the balcony. Like I just it was terrible. So.
I'll get the shakes. So yeah. I've had too much.
I don't really have a vice. What would you say my vice is, Mimi? Working. Yeah. Working. Just
I guess what creating, I mean, your work is creating. Yeah. So that's probably what he meant by creating things.
What's your vice? What do you think your vice is? Do you have a vice?
Well, I definitely smoke weed.
Yeah.
And I drink beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weed and beer are my biggest vices.
You're normal. She's normal.
Yeah, normal.
That's a good thing. I wish I could fucking just drink a beer. Like there's so many times that I want that relief feeling of
numbness,
you know, like
numbing the pain.
Well, yeah, no, it's great. It's I great. Love being numb, but no, you know, like, okay. So I used to drink vodka on the rocks. Whenever you have that first drink and you just feel all the tension in your body, just relax. I don't know if you ever get like that.
Well, with the beer, I do. I can't do liquor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
My body does not do good with any kind of liquor or wine.
Gotcha.
I'll just have I'll get sick. Just get sick.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. See, I'm the opposite. I love hard liquor. So only vodka, though.
Yeah.
So that first drink, you just like, because I suffer from anxiety, you just get that full like release, you know, of just like, oh my God, I don't give a fuck.
So
you know,
weed does that for me in the mornings.
Oh, so that's how she is. She's always like, can you just smoke weed again?
Just a
little
bit.
And I'm like, I might try. Maybe when we're in
a lot.
Maybe when we're in LA this next time,
just one,
we'll
one
go.
Hit.
Yeah.
And because I mean, everybody thinks when you smoke weed, you're a stoner.
No, I used to smoke weed,
but you like sometimes it.
I used to do bong rips and go to the gym.
Yes.
And now I'm a pussy in my old age. Like if I think if I did a bong rip, I would probably fucking cry in a corner and rock back and forth.
The bong makes me cough a lot. So yeah. I don't like to, and it'll, you know, mess up your voice, which when you sing, you definitely want to protect your voice as much as you can. You shouldn't be smoking.
I
love that. But
I like a raspy voice, though.
Right? I do.
I love a woman with a raspy voice.
And
I think it's
different,
so hot.
Just something different.
Mm-hmm.
And also just one hit in the morning. You don't need a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, just a little.
Maybe. I'll give it a whirl.
Microdose through the weed.
Yeah. Well, we have been microdosing shrooms.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So we had, and they've been working great for her. And
what do they do to you? Because sometimes they're great for me and sometimes it's
so they were great for me. And then fucking, I've also been on a calorie deficit working with my nutritionist. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, or actually last week, I had this really bad bout of depression that I hadn't gotten in a while. So, and it scared the fuck out of me and I thought it was the shrooms. So now I'm like eliminating everything and just all my vitamins. Yeah. What do the shrooms do for you?
Well, it depends on what you do. Because if you just microdose, it's just a slight... like
yeah, no, that's, you know? That's the feeling I get. Yes.
All the green outside is greener, am I right?
Yes.
All the blues are bluer, purples are purpler.
Yeah.
You have to be in nature. You don't want to be in a bar with
I can't
people.
Be on my phone when I'm when I'm microdosing. I don't want to touch my phone. Mm-hmm.
Like this would, if I were on shrooms right now, I would be like, can we please turn off the lights?
Yeah.
And a lot of people would be like, I love the lights. You know, that's more of a stoned thing for me rather than a, I want all the lights off. Fire is perfect. Mm-hmm. You just stare at a fire or a candle, put in candles. It's more like, it's spiritual. It's definitely more spiritual.
Have you ever had a bad trip?
Yes.
Or like, oh God.
And I think it was because I was around people I didn't know.
Oh yeah.
You definitely want to be comfortable with everyone around. And you want to, I did it to get messed up that time.
Right.
Not with intention.
Yes. You always have to set intention. Even when I take my microdose, I always set an intention. Like I'm doing this to heal my depression or I'm doing this to help myself so I can help other people. Like I always.
I just got goosebumps when you said that. That's so important.
Yeah.
If you're doing shrooms or even weed or tobacco.
Any
or drinking.
Mind altering thing.
Set the intention. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why not make it a ceremony of some kind for you and great spirit, universe, God, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And honor your ancestors in some way. You can create it and make it spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So shrooms definitely help you look at things that way.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. They totally do. The first time I did them, I felt so great. So I'm not ruling out shrooms altogether. I'm just kind of taking a break right now to make sure that didn't like set me off and send me on a spiral.
Yeah.
So
water, rain dropping on water. You have a pool?
No, we're getting one built.
Okay. Or a creek or something. Yeah. Anything like that. I used to have a pool. I don't anymore. I moved and now I have a creek in my backyard. So if you watch the rain hit the water, you could do it for 2 hours on shrooms. It's coolest looking thing, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever done DMT?
No, it scares me I don't know why.
But it's so quick, I think, you know?
Tell me your experience.
I've only done it once and it was with Todd Snyder, who is a singer-songwriter. He did Beer Run. I don't know if that's his biggest hit. Do you know Todd Snyder? He's a real funny guy, but it was a pen. So it was a vape of DMT and it only lasts 8 to 15 minutes, one hit of it.
Wow.
So my experience, we're sitting on his back porch and he is on the lake out in Hendersonville. So his house is actually hit by these last tornadoes that came through. Roof gone.
Oh no.
Yeah. But he'll get a new roof. It'll be fine.
Okay. Go, Todd, go.
He wasn't there. He was on tour.
So, oh, good.
And
okay,
he's
good.
Such a bachelor that everything he loves was with him on that bus.
Oh, good.
It's so empty in that house, you know, if he's not there.
It's not a home. It's a house.
Sitting on that back porch with the lake out there, and there was a tree that would all of a sudden just start dancing for me.
Oh, my God.
And so that was the coolest thing. And then I looked over to my right. And God, or whoever, great spirit, picks up the land and sets it down and said to me, see, it's like chess. And
wow.
I don't know. What
I just got goosebumps.
So, and I still don't know how to play chess. I've tried it a few times. Yeah. I tried to get into learning it. It's kind of, I liked the gambit. The Queen's Gambit was great.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think I'm smarter enough to actually sit down.
Yeah,
and
I don't think I have patience enough.
Yeah, the
to do
patience
it.
Yeah. Of it. And like, I was like, I'd just rather play music. I don't know.
So that's all that happened. It wasn't like some out of this world crazy.
No.
Like, I've always thought that if you took DMT, it like blasted you off into like this other dimension. And like,
that's salvia. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Salvia. Don't ever do that.
Yeah. No, I had an ex die from it, actually. Salvia.
Die from it? Mm-hmm. How?
So, he smoked it, right? Salvia is what you, he smoked it and had a seizure.
Yeah, it's legal.
And had a heart attack. I know.
Yeah, and
he bought it at a smoke shop.
People are out for 45 seconds, but they feel like they're gone 30 years.
Wow.
And
I don't know if I'd want to do that. Come back feeling old as fuck. Like just fucking.
Yeah. Like you feel like you
lived, like you just lived 30 years.
But sometimes it's like you've lived 30 years as the paint on the side of a barn.
Right. So wow.
And you feel the heat of the sun and the cold of the snow every minute, every day for 30 years in this 45-second salvia trip.
No, I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that
either.
That
doesn't sound fun. That sounds like a fucking nightmare. But the DMT sounded awesome.
Yeah, because
Jay loves DMT. That's his jam too. He loves hallucinogenics and DMT and stuff like that. But I'm just now getting comfortable to where I'm dabbling in the hallucinogenics. I did acid one time, had a bad trip. Well, I did it a couple times. The first time I had a great trip, and then the second time I had a bad trip. And then shrooms, the first time I did it, I started to have a bad trip and then pulled myself out of it and thought I was Little John in the snow. And then and Michael Jackson. Like it was, I just had a blast. And then she's been brought up twice today. My best friend that passed away, Grace, RIP, we were staying in like this Airbnb and that was like old lady clothes in the closet. And we just like tried on all her clothes and did like a fashion show while we were on shrooms. And it was like the funnest time of my life. So yeah. I'm just now getting comfortable with hallucinogenics. So maybe after I microdose and can actually macrodose shrooms, then maybe I'll move on to DMT. But I feel like it's hallucinogenics different. Are so healing.
Mushrooms last way longer than the DMT thing, just so you know.
Yeah, up to 8 hours, right? Or 6 hours or something like that.
Yeah. And then you feel, depending on how much you do, you feel some the next day.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah, and I never do it when my kids are around.
Yeah, know? I wouldn't be able to.
I smoke weed when they're around.
Yeah.
With them or anything.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with weed. When I was microdosing one time, our kid came in and I was like listening to like spiritual music, just zoned out on the bed, just kind of relaxing, trying to make sure, because you know I suffer from anxiety, so there's when I first take it I have to wait like an hour and make sure I don't hallucinate, so I'm always like freaking out, so I'm just trying to like zen out, and she comes in and that's where I did the reel. I don't know if you saw, whenever I had taken a little too much, that was the first time when I remember I could see the things on the back of my eyelids, I said, and she came in and she's like what are you doing? She's like, are you on shrooms right now? And I was like, yes. And she's like, okay, I'll be back. But that's what inspired the TikTok that I did, where she came in and she said, how many did you take? And I said, I took nine. And it's the face. Have you seen the one that I did?
Yeah,
that's what inspired that because it legit happened. Yeah. So now I love hallucinogenics. Like I said, just taking a break from them right now because my body's just fucking wonky, but yeah,
One bad trip I had on the shrooms when I was around people I didn't know, I wanted to lay down on the floor and I didn't want to get up. It wasn't like I was pinned down, mm-hmm. but I was just like, I don't want to get up from here.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was your safe space.
But they all came and laid down there with me, mm-hmm. and like an hour later, I was fine.
Oh, you good. Know? Yeah.
So it's like, and it was cool because I didn't really know them. But then after that, I'm like, I love those guys. You know, now they're close friends because they really pulled me out of that trip. And all they did was just lay down on the floor.
But that's sweet because if you were with the wrong people, then it could have like spun it into a bad situation. So
yeah. But also mushrooms have a that uppity thing.
Yeah. Too. I haven't had the uppity thing.
It has like that. Because do you notice this? Like that.
She takes more than me.
I've never done cocaine, but it gives you that caffeine feeling. You can stay up later. Do you have that?
I haven't felt that yet. Oh, yeah. Really?
Too close to nighttime sometimes.
Yeah.
It depends on how much I'm taking. Daytime, I take a certain amount. And if I take it at night before bed, I have to be sure of how much I take. If it's even microdosing.
Yeah.
Wide awake.
Well, shit balls.
Best dreams of my life.
Yeah, great dreams. Great shits that you take too.
I love a good shit. Don't fucking threaten me with a good time. I can't ever poop, so.
Oh, that's a great way to get that going
again. Yeah,
I've actually done it just to do that.
Wow, I love that. She's like, I've taken shrooms just to shit.
Just to shit, I'm telling you. Because I love cheese, and then sometimes I have cheese, and yeah.
I love that. Well, what can we expect from Raylan in 2022.
I'm gonna tour a lot, so come see me.
I will. Let me know when your show is. And we're always traveling too, so if you're out on the road and we're in the same city, I would love to come see you.
Okay, and here I'm supposed to play the Rhinestone stage, the Glen Campbell Museum. In March. And then Basement East next September.
Oh,
so that's
cool.
The only two in town so far.
Yay.
But I like to get out of Nashville and play around. So yeah, I'll be around. And then we're going to be releasing singles. And my next single is called Free. So be looking for that. Follow
when
me
on. Do we know when that's going to drop?
Probably, I think March is the best time right now at this point. But it just depends because I'm putting together a music video that I want to make sure that happens.
Awesome.
To go with it, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
Totally.
So if it means that I have to wait longer or it needs to happen sooner, then that's what'll happen.
Yeah, whenever it's meant to be, it'll happen.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be touring, releasing new music. Anything else you want to add to that list that we can look out
podcasting to? Music is funny podcast, and hopefully hanging out with you guys doing shrooms.
Dude, I would love that. That would be awesome.
At your beach house vacation.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go buy it right now. No, I've been trying to talk my husband into buying a fucking vacation home for 6 years. I get the shit into the shingle on that every time, but I think I'm gonna win soon.
Eventually.
Oh, manifesting. Yes, exactly. Huge on that. Put it in the air. Raylan, tell everybody where they can find you at, like your socials.
Yeah, at Raylan Olson Band and at Music is Funny on YouTube. That's where I am.
Yay. And then podcasts you can find on YouTube.
Things.
Just Google all the Music is Funny.
Apple, Spotify. My favorite way is the Apple.
Yeah, podcast. I love Apple too. But Spotify is actually getting big now too. So I've been promoting Spotify. So you should promote Spotify too.
Okay, yeah, Spotify, all the things.
Yeah, all the things. Well, I can't wait to see what this next year.
I'm so glad we're friends. Thanks for having me.
I know, I love it. Yeah, totally. I can't wait to see what this next year brings for you. And I'm just so excited to watch you prosper and all that jazz. And we're going to bring you back. You got to come back. You have to be like a reoccurring guest.
We'll do we're all going to go viral on TikTok.
Oh, honey, we've been going viral. We're going to bring you on the train with us. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye.